1 o'clock hour on a Friday. It's time for the fan club heading into the weekend. We got some special guests hanging out with us. We're going to talk some Chiefs ahead of their game against the Chargers. Plus, of course, the Royals with a chance tonight right here on 96.5 The Fan, a chance to clinch a playoff spot with a win, or maybe the Twins help the Royals out as well. We've got our friend Andrew from Jay Rieger Co. in the studio. That's always a good thing, by the way. That's, I'll be honest, always a good thing. You always bring a nice cocktail or whatever, and I'm getting some feedback, Drew. I don't know if we got wrong mics or whatever. Just a heads up on mine. It's very echoey, Tenny. We'll figure that out.
Okay, I thought it was going crazy.
Yeah, and we also have Jacob, a listener of ours, who bid on an experience during the Cody and Gold garage sale. And I think you've been on a couple items before in the past, man. We've done some lunch and some other things. So thanks for supporting Garage Sale Museum. Good to have you in studio. And let's start with Andrew for a second, though, because let's find out what we're all sipping on here. You poured us some drinks. What do we got here?
Yeah, so this is our new bourbon that... can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good. Okay, cool. We're going to have him adjusted. You're keep doing your thing, man.
So new bourbon that just came out in August. So this is our straight bourbon, 90 proof. You can find it on the store shelves around $28. So if you're thinking about the greatest bourbon to ever come out of Kansas City and probably the region, it's in your hands as we speak.
So is this, you're saying that this one is?
I do believe that this is the under promise and completely over delivers straight bourbon. And I think that anybody that grabs a bottle will be highly
90 proof,
impressed.
Which means very, very, very drinkable.
Oh, yeah. Very drinkable.
Like, absolutely. You know, like
for
sipping.
For breakfast. Yeah. Right before you go to bed, you know.
You know, it depends on the whiskey cocktail. I'm not saying I won't have whiskey for breakfast. I don't tend to drink it neat for breakfast.
Understood. And then the cocktail is going to be it's a whiskey sour. That's kind of our cocktail that we're centering around the Rieger bourbon. But this one's got a little bit of banana in it and some Amontillado sherry. So it's just got some extra layers. Very good. Standard bourbon sour.
Are you a bourbon guy, Jacob?
You know, I'm not really a bourbon guy, but this tastes amazing. I'm sitting here.
That's usually how this goes. Usually how this goes with the cocktails and everything. I was going to ask you about the whiskey, the new release, though. How long you guys? Like, how long has this been in the works? I guess.
Yeah,
you
know? I mean, on it, we turned 10 years in a couple weeks, and we've been working on it almost that long. So yeah, this is a 4 or 5 year old blend, sweet mash. So this is just taking some extra love and care to make. And then delivering on that 90 proof, real easy. New bottle, new packaging.
Yeah, we like the packaging there. If you're watching on the video stream, YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, etc., you can kind of see what we're going with here.
Yeah, and if it's not sexy, then why would we do it?
Bottles should be sexy in general. I mean, at least if you're going to drink out of them, you know. That should count for something. But no, it's good. It's good to have you guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Obviously, good to have everybody in here. We like a good cocktail. What's not to like?
Jacob, now you went golfing with the producers.
I did. That was
once or twice?
Once.
But a couple years ago.
A couple years ago.
So you haven't golfed with Drew. I was going to get your thought. Now, have you golfed with Rob, who's over there as well?
I did golf with
Rob. Honest thoughts on the golf game.
Oh, I got my butt kicked.
By Rob?
By Rob?
Rob and Dusty. Nick and I teamed up.
By Rob Brenton?
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, it was bad. So our first tee shot, if I remember it right, mine was okay. It was down the left a little bit, you know, and Nick's was right down the center. Dusty's was on the fifth fairway or something way over there. It went downhill from there. You know, Nick and I just kept losing hole after hole, and Rob and Dusty just kept going. You know, at one point, you know, I just looked at Nick and I said, dude, I'm sorry. I don't have it today. So, yeah, I got my butt kicked that day. It was still fun, but, yeah.
You guys played at Swope? Is that right?
No.
Would that have been Swope that year? What year? Maybe it was Swope.
It was 2 years ago. Okay. It was Stone Canyon.
Oh, okay.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. So I got to lose at a really nice golf course.
Every time I go golf.
You had to beat out some people, though, this year to win. At the time, it was called Club 610. We still have the Club 610 sign. But
I haven't ordered a new neon because I'm not in love with the fan club yet.
Because Andrew, you haven't been on me. I don't think Andrew's been on the station since we switched, have you, to 96.5?
Correct. Yeah, because he was actually out of town.
That's right. Dusty was filling
Someone
in.
Someone was sleeping in your bed. I don't know.
Yeah, Kramer.
That guy brought up today again because...
He's house sitting for me again in like 2 weeks when I'm in Vegas again.
It got brought up today. Somebody, we were talking about this woman that broke into someone's house. And when they arrived, she was making food, like pasta and stuff. And so
she's cooking.
It got us down this road talking about how I was like, did Kramer leave anything behind? And he said, not really. I go, did he wipe down and clean the shower at least? He's like, he didn't need to do that. I'm like, hey, man, if I was in someone's house for 4 days and shower, I think you got to wipe down the shower.
You think so?
And then Kramer said a bunch of his friends were texting him, giving him a hard time.
I think it's probably fine. Like, I cleaned it before.
Based on what he was saying when I was here last.
Maybe.
probably professionally clean the whole house.
Or burn it down for the insurance money. Yeah. One of the two.
Man. Real quick update on the Chiefs. I do want to pass this on and we can get back to whatever. But earlier we were discussing Mike Dana and how, you know, maybe his production was down. Was it due to the injury? He didn't practice yesterday, but he was seen at the media portion. Andy Reid ruling, it looks like Mike Dana, you see that as well, Mike Dana out from what I can tell. So Felix, man. An opportunity for Felix and Udike Uzomah.
Yeah, big opportunity for him. If they're going to be down a pass rusher, I also think they'll just put Chris Jones on the outside more and keep using Turk Wharton in the middle. They're going up against two backup tackles, so I would hope you could still have a good day.
The way it was phrased from Andy, he will probably not play this week. He's out. They're going to hold him out until the calf calms down. Mike Dana in 7 games against the Chargers, 5 sacks and a forced fumble.
Is that what you think, huh?
No, that's what he's done against the Chargers.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind him.
I mean, that'd be impressive to get 5 sacks when he's not playing, too. That would be really, really impressive, man.
I just don't.
Cody's already getting this whiskey sour is already getting.
I don't overly worry about like one defensive lineman. Mac Dyna has missed time. Felix has missed time. People miss one game. For the Chargers, they're way worse shape, obviously, from an injury front than where the Chiefs are right now. I guess I'll take the casual fans perspective in the room. Alex and I are both in the, I don't worry about the Chiefs because they're 3-0. I don't care that they don't look good while doing it until, I don't know, December, January, February. Have we gotten that way with everybody? You guys in the same boat? Like, we all just agree, it's fine.
I feel pretty good about it. I mean, we had a below standard season last year that ended on the highest level. Why can't that be the same thing again? Happened with the Bucks when they beat us in the Super Bowl, too. I think they lost 6, 7, maybe 8 games that year. So
yeah, they lost to the Chiefs, what, a month before that?
Yeah.
And then came back and beat us. I'm not so worried, like, but I am. I will say this at least. You know, it raises an eyebrow because normally in September, I'm still kind of used to Mahomes having those big games or making those highlight plays, especially against, like, the 49ers his first couple years and stuff like that, or throwing, doing something at least that makes you say, wow. And really, even though offense has been down all year long, it still kind of makes me at least raise an eyebrow and take a little bit of a pause saying, you know, what's going on here? But to answer your question, no, I'm really not that worried. They'll get figured out.
I just think it's an adjustment. I think we pretend like sometimes sports aren't like a different job. He spent an entire calendar year having to be conservative and simple and run the offense simple and not have enough time to run the, you know, like whatever. And, you know, he's 3 games in. It's going to take him a few games before he's like, oh, yeah, okay. We can do the old things a little bit again. And they are still, I think we also just forget that they're missing their number 2 wide receiver. That must have been part of their plan going into the season.
Huge chunk of the offseason included Hollywood Brown. I mean, Mahomes, how many times do we see him, or hear him, I should say, talk about, hey, it's not just the deep threat with Hollywood Brown, but he said, you know what surprised me the most? His route running, right? He complimented him. So we may unfortunately never get to see what that is going to look like. I don't know. You know, Hollywood Brown, maybe week 16 or something comes back, and then all of a sudden he's a luxury item to have come postseason time. But yeah, I think that's part of it. There's an adjustment. And then I still believe they're bringing Worthy along. You know, I know we got all excited in the week one game, 3 touches, 2 touchdowns. But I think we have to remember typically how they approach this and knowing the complex offense, even though Worthy's a very smart kid, it sounds like, based on how he's picking up the offense. But it might be week 6 or 7 before we start to see the full potential of Worthy in an Andy Reid offense, besides just the design touch pass or jet sweep kind of stuff.
He has more yards and touchdowns than Rashee Rice did his first 3 games.
Yeah.
Like, if you just want to compare starts, I don't know that, like, is that not a thing? Like, they waited a while to use Rashee. They'll probably wait a while to use Xavier Worthy. It's always the same thing. Anytime you think they're getting ready to use a rookie wide receiver, just assume they'll use Justin Watson instead. Like, at least for like 4 weeks or 5 weeks, they'll use random veteran before they'll get to the rookies for a while. But 3-0, I don't know. It's like it's the same way I feel about the fans that are like for the Royals, right? We're all hoping that they'll win tonight or the Twins will lose. They'll be back in the postseason. You guys can have some people, I assume, on the patio at Rieger.
Oh, yeah.
Watching some games. Yeah. I see the sentiment and be like, well, I don't care if they get to the playoffs. They're just going to lose in the first round. I'm like, sir, 9 years. 9 years since they went to the postseason. I'll take postseason, even if it ends poorly, over no postseason.
Were you guys both in Kansas City in 14 and 15?
Yeah, I was at the...
So, I mean, you guys know what that was like. So how can we... It'd be so silly now to be like, you know, oh, it's not good enough just to make it. Of course, we want them to go on a run and win a World Series, but like, don't worry about what they may or may not do in October.
100%. A lot of baseball left. And the last two runs that we had, multiple sweeps in multiple series. In the park home runs, first pitch, you know, of that 2014.
Man.
It was amazing.
Did you guys go to any of the World Series games?
I went to one World Series
game. One World Series
game? Went to a couple playoff. And then I watched Game 7 against the Giants in the parking lot with a TV on strapped to the back of someone's truck.
No, I didn't get to go to any of the World, I didn't go to the any of the World Series games, but I was at the Wild Card
game. Oh, yeah, man. That's
okay. I was at the Wild Card game, too.
All-timer. Absolute all-timer. I mean, that will always... There's other events that you can shift around, but that, to me, even with some of the cool things we've been lucky enough to go to, it's still a top five sporting event for me.
Oh, I still have the videos on my phone. I just bought tickets just to get into the stadium. We were nosebleed. I could have seen, you know, all of Kansas City from the top of the stadium. You know, but when the game started to not go so well, I worked my way all the way down and ended up being like... first base, right behind the dugout when Perez came up to bat and hit that game winner.
So when some people left the building?
Yeah, when people decided
that's
enough.
Nobody will ever admit they left that game. Nobody will ever admit they left that game.
A former host on this station, Henry Lake, left that game.
He did?
Yes! Huh. He was covering it, and he left that game early. He didn't want to admit that on the air either.
The
too late now.
Just went by.
He lives
and
in
Cody
Minnesota.
Threw him underneath.
Yeah, no kidding. It's been enough years now,
dude,
I guess.
Been 5 years in Minneapolis.
Yeah, he's very successful up in Minnesota and Minneapolis. And
he left that game early.
Doing a great job.
He absolutely left.
I did
that
not
game
know
early.
That.
I didn't because I like. The truth is, I was working part time here and bartending. The money I spent on that game, I was riding out 9 innings at least, no matter what, right?
Oh, yeah.
I was
going
to be there to the sad, bitter end if that's for playoffs, how it went down.
Yeah, for playoffs, you definitely, I think you, I mean, it would have to be, they have to be down like 15 to nothing for me not to stay for a playoff baseball game. Like, it would have to be something insane like that.
I didn't get to go to a single World Series game in 14. The only games I went to that year were the wild card game and the clincher to the pennant game when they swept to go to the World Series. I happened to buy Game 4 tickets, which is normally you just think going to be middle of the series, and just because the Royals went on that run where they didn't lose until they got to the World Series, we don't have to worry about it.
We have the fan club going on here on a Friday edition of Cody and Gold. We've got Andrew from Rieger hanging out with us. We've got our listener Jacob, who been on an experience through our Cody and Gold garage sale, so we appreciate that, of course. Hanging out, having a whiskey sour or two this afternoon before
or two.
You never know. You never know.
Just Pat's got a bachelor party tomorrow, so he's going to get loose before that. You know,
tomorrow's going to be a fun day. You know. With the Royals postseason potential run ahead, are you guys in full blown? Like, were you staying up like we were watching the Marlins game? Or are you not to that? Is that too much? Okay.
It's too much for me, not for any other reason other than just like, you know, football is.
Well, you're trying to enjoy the final days of great sleep. You told us the news. You've got a newborn on the way.
Congrats. Right?
Baby on the way, due in December. And yeah, that is definitely the big focus. New floors in the basement, building furniture, getting new furniture in, throwing old stuff out, you know.
Oh, so you guys are going through the whole. Sounds like someone's in full nesting phase, whether it's you or her.
Yeah, you guys, I wouldn't say you guys. One of us is nesting and the other one's getting it all done.
Yeah.
But my wife's a boss. She's an absolute boss. She's the CEO of our family.
My wife is too. Honestly, I'm fine with it.
100%.
I think people somehow feel like embarrassed by this fact. I'm like, no, this makes... I'm glad one person has the mindset to be like,
oh yeah,
responsible and mindful of
anybody,
every decision we make versus me, where I just like to dip my toe in.
Anybody that meets my wife knows that she's the better three quarters of our relationship for sure.
Yeah. She's carrying the freight. Same?
Oh, yeah. Same for sure.
No, we all married up. That's smart for us.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she's an elementary teacher, so she's used to handling people who aren't as, you know, mature.
My wife was a public librarian for like 10 years, so she's not putting up with any of my nonsense, and she had to deal with the public for 10 years in a library setting. What's your wife do?
She works for the United Way.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
She does awesome, business development and partnerships.
Right. All of our wives do like better, more important things than us too.
Yeah.
I don't know what you do.
I mean,
I have a fake job, and so do you. Let's just face reality. We both have like not real jobs. Oh, I work with bourbon and liquor all the time at J. Rieger. I talk on the radio. We don't have real jobs. Yeah. No one ever feels bad to be like, I had a real busy day today. I had to do like 4 tastings. It was nuts.
I'm expecting to hear Jacob's like an open heart surgeon. Yeah,
right. No, I'm a construction operator.
Okay.
So I'm out in the sun, the cold, and all that.
Okay, more. Oh, so were you upset then many, many months ago? We were talking about, oh, it was unfortunately a little warm in our studio. Yeah, Cody, and a bunch of people texted and said, oh, it's 103 outside. Get over it. Was that you?
It could have been. It could have been.
I was complaining it was cold in here, and it was like 110 degrees outside. And they said, you can't complain. I was like, I was just saying it was a little cold in here. That's all. I was just making a statement. I didn't
like
say.
Yeah. All like it is.
Hey, it was nice to at least think about, like, oh, the studio must be nice while I'm sitting here sweating. Yeah. Sweating.
Yeah, tough life for us, that's for sure. I want to keep talking Royals for a little bit, and then, of course, next half hour we'll get to some game predictions and talk some more NFL, just kind of where you guys are at with the league and see if you agree with what some of the things we were saying. But most importantly, clinch a playoff spot, duh. But we were discussing potential matchup stuff. It's fun we can do this now a little bit. The Orioles look like the potential matchup would have to require the Tigers to lose a game or two as well this weekend for the Royals to be able to play the Orioles, who I prefer. If not, the Royals would be going down to Houston to take on an Astros team. And then there's some fun tie-ins to that from 14 and 15 and everything.
Dunce versus the Chessmaster plus Correa's arrow.
Either way.
Short.
But Houston, like, I'm not afraid of Houston, but at the same time, like, I also want the best matchup to, you know, advance. And Baltimore is a team I would rather face. Where are you guys at? I don't know if you've been paying much attention with either of the teams, but Baltimore has been playing well.
Yeah, I'd rather play Baltimore. They're just kind of on a little bit of a skid. I like the Royals to go into Baltimore and play in that ballpark. You know, it's just a little bit smaller, and I like the way our team kind of timely hitting would play, at least in my mind, would play in that stadium. I just want home games at Coffee.
I know, that's the thing. Can we get to an ALDS so we get that?
I also think you should fear the Astros. I think everyone should be terrified of the Astros. They've made six straight ALCS series. Could you imagine, even if the Chiefs were in a down year, trying to pretend just because you watched them struggle a little bit that you shouldn't fear facing them
for baseball
in the playoffs?
But I think it's a little bit different for baseball.
Six straight ALCS.
I hear you. And no, I mean, that in general, their history is part of the reason why I would rather face off with the Orioles. But I don't know if I don't know if it's like, oh my gosh, the terrible, big, bad Houston Astros. This year, we just got done talking throughout the week, really throughout the last month, about all the teams, American League and National League, there's not a great team.
Yeah, but if one team does always seem to manage to get there, and it's actually seven straight. I was wrong.
Okay.
Royals were only a year off from being in the playoffs the last time the Astros weren't in the ALCS.
I don't have the Astros win-loss record for the last 7 years memorized. And,
I don't know.
But my point being is, like, without looking it up, and now it's loading in front of me, they had some 100-plus win teams during that run. This is not that. Okay, so here we go. Right now, they're an 86-win team. Last year, they were 90 wins. They lost in the ALCS. They won the World Series on a 106-win team.
Pretty good.
They lost in the World Series on a 95-win team. Then they won 107 and 103 and 101. All I'm saying is, this is not that 100-plus win Astros team. That team doesn't exist in all of baseball, fortunately, this year.
I just think if the Chiefs were 10-7 for the first time under, or 9-8, and made the postseason, I still wouldn't be like, I don't fear the Chiefs this year. Looks like a regular year. And the Astros are doing it in a sport in which it should be even harder to do it. Like, baseball shouldn't allow you to make seven straight, essentially, conference finals.
Well, I mean, I want the Orioles. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, like, definitely, if I have a preference, I choose the Orioles for some of the reasons you're bringing up and I brought up as well.
90 times or 100 times.
I just don't think there's... This is the great thing. Just get in the dance more than ever. I mean, there's flaws with every single one of these teams. And so I think if the Royals get in, they clinch tonight, hopefully we don't have to sweat it out all weekend. Then maybe we got an opportunity to have some home playoff games, which would be amazing.
Well, when the playoffs start, everyone's 0-0.
That's right. There you go. There you go, Andrew. There it is.
I think the Royals, it's such a weird season because most metrics would tell you they're just as good as any other team in the American League. But because we've watched them lose seven games in a row twice this month, have one of the league's worst bullpens for about 5 months of the 4 months of the season, and we watched their hitting disappear since Vinny got hurt, people are like, huh. But, you know, before Vinny, they were a 12th best offense, 11th best. They were like a pretty good offense without Vinny, and now the bullpen's pitching better. And, you know, a lot of things would suggest they're a good baseball team, but it's hard because you watched them lose 56 games win 56 games last year. I don't think you had the buildup. In 14, there was a buildup. They were not terrible in 2012, a little better, like a winning team in 2013, then a wild card, you know, like you got the buildup of like at least thinking they were a decent team.
Do you guys agree with something Cody and I were discussing? It kind of reminded me of that, Cody, as you were talking about 14. We were saying there's a lot of reasons why the buy-in, the feeling around this season is so different than 14. You know, it seems like moments that people reference even with this year's team are still like stuff from 14 and 15. And I think there's a couple reasons for it. One is that 14 and 15, the team ultimately went to the World Series, so we remember that. And this team hasn't had a chance to do that yet. We'll see if they have a long postseason run. But also in 14 and 15, we hadn't seen Patrick Mahomes yet. We hadn't seen championships yet. Also, the TV package was better at the time. All that has contributed. I'm curious for both of you, if you sit, does it feel different still like than what it did in August of 14, August of 15 for you than it has throughout this run?
Yeah, for sure. I think because, you know, you got to watch Hosmer, Moose, Salvi, all those guys come up. And like Cody was just talking about, that run up from 12, 13, 14, you got to see all those guys come up. So it's a little bit different because you have a couple people like Vinny and Bobby Witt, and obviously Salvi's still there. But it just feels just a little bit different because, you know, like I'm still going to go with Cody. You had that run up. So it kind of just, to me, it just feels a little bit different. It doesn't feel less because I'm still excited, but it just doesn't have that same, anticipation.
Is it skepticism or is it just that, hey, there's a bunch of other things going on?
A little bit of both. I know that's not a really good answer, but I mean, yeah, I'm really interested in, you know, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. They're coming off back-to-back Super Bowls, so I haven't really been paying attention to the Royals for the past few years. They've never made the playoffs since 2015, so, you know, I think that's just more or less part of the reason why.
It is hard to lock in to not having the household names, the things that you were used to, you know, and not being able to make that stuff as relatable and talking about the TV package. Brutal.
It's also
brutal for the common.
I'm just happy. And look, I know we work in radio, and so we're happy to just listen
to the game free on 96.5 The Fan.
Hey, look, right. We all know how it works. Like there's advertisers, they help pay the bills and all that. But I'll tell you this, that Bally app, I cannot wait to not have to watch a game on that until next year because, boy, oh, boy, I'm sick of hearing the sports sound effects over and over. And the
come follow the Smith swish. Family as they go through their adventure
if
park.
I hear that, it is, if I hear it is both again, I will. I cannot. Two more days. Three more days of that. And then I think we might be done with that commercial.
I mean, it won't air nearly as much as it was.
Oh, my goodness.
The ones that get me are the two YouTube series. It's like, I'm never going to watch this guy kayak.
The fishing show, or whatever. Ken Whiting.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Ken. I'm never going to watch that show. There is no chance of watching what is outdoor adventure. No.
That should be another bet coming up is that if Cody was to lose something,
give us a full review on that on that show.
I have to watch like five episodes. Right.
Someone earlier said you needed to watch because we were discussing how we were watching the Marlins last night. Like that's a 100 loss team. It's not a good team, but they helped the Royals yesterday. Yeah. And Cody was discussing, we were all just mentioning how late the game was, but how bad they were suggesting if you don't pay off your outstanding 2-year bet. Mm-hmm. Involving the strip club, that maybe you have to go back and watch like 20 Marlins games.
They said that,
year.
Or if I lose another hot dog race. Because mm-hmm. I'm 0-4.
He's 0-4.
I can't win a hot dog derby to save my life. I think you're too tall to race in one. How tall are you?
6'5".
Too tall. Sorry.
The limit's like 6'4? Yeah. I thought 6'5 was the limit. I thought he was 6'4.
Okay. Maybe not. Right.
That's height. You could lie. That's heightest.
Yeah. They should get taller hot dog costumes, you know, to really include everybody. This is discrimination in some ways, you know? Against you. I don't need anybody 6'5". There's an advantage in being tall in that race.
We already know that none of the listeners feel sorry for me.
No. They're like, oh, it must suck to only be 6'5".
Darn.
We talked about this once, I think, when you were on here, is that, like, what's the tallest you want to be? Because there is a point where you're like, because you're tall and people are like, you're a tall guy. But if you're like 3 inches taller than this, you're like a freakazoid. People are talking to you like you're...
If you're not if you're 6'8 and you didn't have some sort of basketball career. I think there's some people that were like unfairly, but they're like, you didn't play. Yeah. What do you mean you didn't play?
Oh, yeah. Even someone that's like even an inch taller than me, if I have to look up, it's awkward. It's weird. And I think they're a freak, you know?
Yeah, you're like, how are you taller than me? I feel bad. And I was just thinking about, like, I guess you're probably going to have, is your wife tall? Is your kid going to be pretty tall?
My wife's like 5'6". I would assume. Kid's gonna be tall, I would assume. My dad's tall, her dad's tall.
Okay.
Tall family.
Hey, you know. We'll see what draft class we end up in.
There you go. It's the Fan Club. The Fan Club Friday here on 96.5 The Fan. We've got Andrew and Jacob hanging out with us. Let's talk some more Chiefs on the other side. Plus, one thing I just saw around the NFL, and it reminded me that even if you leave a place, you still might be the same individual. I'll explain that next. Back here on the Fan Club, here on 96.5 The Fan. We do this every Friday. If you're new to the show, on Fridays, 1 o'clock, hey, we want to get the weekend going a little bit, and nothing better to do that with our friends Andrew from Rieger, and we've got our listener Jacob hanging out with us in studio today. If you're wondering, hey, how do I get into a future Fan Club? Well, next year, Cody and Go Garage Sale, we'll have a couple more opportunities to bid on, all benefiting the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, and Jacob, one out. You're battling out with some people. It's a very competitive auction this year.
Dude, it really was. I'd get an over notification. Hey, you've been outbid. I'm like, really, guys? Let's stop. I'm trying to get in the club.
It was a good auction this year, raising a lot of money for the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. I want to get to game predictions here in about 10 minutes or so for the Chiefs and Chargers, but around the NFL, I saw this, and I don't know if Drew's back there. I know he's not going to like this, but there was a quote out of Tennessee. We know the Tennessee Titans are 0-3, right? And Will Levis, that whole situation's a mess. Tyler Boyd is one of the wide receivers there. He's a former Cincinnati Bengals. So Tyler Boyd is there, D-Hop, Calvin Ridley. So he was quoted by a reporter, Tyler Boyd was, after their most recent loss. Quote, "We have a legit team. This is a Super Bowl caliber team on paper." That's from Tyler Boyd. Now, that is not as bad as saying you're the team to beat, but I must say, you can take the man out of Cincy, but you can't take Cincy out of the man after Ja'Marr Chase said they're the team to beat. Like, there's something in the water in Cincy, and once you leave it, it doesn't matter. Once you're there once, that's the mindset you have, and I know you got to think that you're a team, but at some point, somebody has to tell these individuals, when you're 0-3 or the time 0-2, 0-1, you can't say you're the best in the league or the best in the sport or anything like that. Like, you just sound like an idiot.
Loser behavior. Like, I can't, like, could you imagine? It's the same logic before Drew probably tries to defend his team.
I was going to say, hang on.
Drew, that would be like me saying right now.
He's not
right
even on Cincy anymore, man.
I'm the best at hot dog derby. Wouldn't you laugh my ass out of this studio?
We do all the time about statement. The hot dog derby.
I've never said I'm the best. I lose all the time at it. I desperately want to win one, but I'm not out here trying to be like, I'm the king of the hot dog derby. It's quite the opposite.
Here's the difference.
I'm like
though,
the all-time loser in that race.
The difference, though, in your take is you've never won one. The Bengals, at one point a couple years ago, were the team to beat, so they at least can say because they've been
ago?
There.
2 years ago?
2 years ago.
A long time in the NFL.
If you won a race, Cody, like say you beat Beasley and you actually found a way to win this whole tournament thing. All the other losses before to Alex, to whoever.
You say you're a race to fight beat Matt Beasley, maybe.
And you could claim that you might be the guy to beat at that point. But I think that look, I said that I have the same stance that I did before. If Bobby Witt said last week, even amidst the losing streak, we feel like we should be the team to beat, and we got to play like it, and we got to act like it. I don't have a problem with it because that's the mindset that you should have, that you are the top dog, and you should play like it every single game, even though you're not currently.
I think the equivalent, though, in using I think we've known Bobby, we just would never say anything like that because that's just not his thing.
Probably not.
But also, that would be like if the Royals started 0-10, and then we're like, we still think we're the best team in baseball.
I feel like if you don't believe
when
it,
they
then
were actively
0-10, then you're doing what Lamar Jackson is doing.
But I also
and
think
that's admitting that you're not as good.
I also think that
what
like,
you can't do.
Bill Belichick talked about this, the greatest winning coach of all time, when it came to Patrick Mahomes after the win. I think the opposite is also true. That if you're still telling yourself we're the best when you're actively the worst, then you've already let it get in your head anyway. If you can have an honest reflection of where you are, which is we think we're close in some of these games and we can win more games and we are better than this. That's an honest reflection of yourself, not we're the best, we're the team to beat. You're like, no one agrees with
that. I think it is something that you should think it internally and preach the message internally. Saying it out loud, you should believe it, but saying it out loud, maybe you, I don't know.
That's all I'm saying. Of course, you got to believe in yourself, and you don't get to that level without finding that edge every week. No, I don't disagree. It's just, man, sometimes you got to be like, maybe just you know, go ahead and not make that comment publicly. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Yeah. We've got
inside thoughts.
Andrew from Rieger hanging out with us, as I mentioned. Tell us again what we're drinking, and you guys got the 10-year anniversary coming up.
Yeah, 10-year anniversary here in a couple weeks. We're going to have a limited release of our Kansas City whiskey coming out, so keep an eye out for that. Distillery only. But yeah, pouring some whiskey sours made with a little bit of banana and Amontillado sherry using our brand new 90 proof sweet mash bourbon.
Love it. Keeping us hydrated throughout the fan club here.
I think it's actually the opposite of that, right?
You know, but you know, my mouth was a little dry. It's not dry anymore thanks to the whiskey. You know, it's perfect.
This is at least 65% water.
Perfect. It's 45%
alcohol. That's a good point. You know what?
I appreciate that.
That's pretty much hydrating.
That's 65% more water than you probably had.
That's true.
Look at this thing. I got like a white girl glass. Look at that. Are you kidding me?
That is that color.
I filled this thing up like twice.
That color as well, also just complete vibes of just like what you just described.
Oh, Joko, like I live in Overland Park and I'm getting ready, and I'm a mom getting ready to watch my kid play soccer is what this
I wish
is.
It had a little rubber topper to your straw.
Other than that, it's pretty much the entire energy of that cup. I've had two of those today.
Before we get to the Chiefs, while we're kind of talking about, we were joking about Tyler Boyd a little bit. Who do you guys, we look at the AFC, who do you guys actually think are the three maybe teams to be heading into week four of the season? I think we said it earlier, all of us in the top three have to put Chiefs and Bills. Maybe you guys disagree. The question is, who's the third team? I said Baltimore just because I actually think the Ravens are going to beat the Bills on Sunday when they match up. Where you got, Jacob? We'll start with you.
I'd have to say the Ravens. Okay. They had to play the Chiefs. Who wouldn't take an L, you know, the first week? Andy Reid had all offseason to plan for you, so, you know, you're looking at an uphill battle there.
The Raiders, I can't explain. That one gets me.
No, I can't either. That just
Minshew still, magic's good for one or two a year.
Business decisions.
Yeah.
That's right.
Respected that, it appears. Like, if you're going to make business decisions, so are we.
Yeah. I mean, but they have a team there. You know, they were in the championship game last year for a reason. You know, they hadn't got off to the best of starts right now. But, you know, the Chiefs have also started 1-5 and ended up in the playoffs. And so I still think, you know, with their coach, with their experience and with the team they've built, I would put them at number three as well.
For me, hard to bet against the Jets with Aaron Rodgers.
You're a believer. You're a buyer. He looked good, obviously, last time out.
And I would say Houston on top of that.
Yeah, Houston's again, my answer.
Stroud, until he proves me otherwise, I mean, the guy's just lightning in a bottle.
Tank Dell has not practiced all week, one of their star wide receivers. Looks like they're not going to have Tank Dell. Joe Mixon was back at practice, but Cam Akers did a good job filling in. I had the Texans preseason going to the AFC title game, and I still think that's plausible, but just as it sits right now, maybe it's recency bias. It definitely is recency bias. Their performance against the Vikings, they got their ass kicked.
But I'll be honest, now that if you made me, like if we did a list next week, rank out the top five coaches in the NFL, I think I'd have Kevin O'Connell.
He should be coach of the year.
Maybe four or five, but I think he's a top five coach in the NFL. I think a huge part of their success is he has won with all kinds of different people. He was winning when it was Kirk Cousins. He was winning games when Kirk Cousins went out. He was making Jordan Addison look good. And now he's winning with Sam Darnold again. It's like, I have a hard time kind of counting him out. I mean, the guy seems to be making it work with anybody.
He's a favorite to win Coach of the Year for those reasons, you know. And Sam Darnold, there's a chance Sam Darnold is going to get another big opportunity somewhere else after this, if this keeps up. If he's able to, I mean, he's not making mistakes like we all saw he made with the Jets. And just more and more evidence of the Jets are just an inept franchise. But I'm with you on Rodgers and the Jets overall, Andrew. Like, last year, that was the year I thought that the Jets were going to compete. Of course, four snaps in, the season's over. But the Jets and Bills are the only two teams that can win that division. So it's going to be interesting to see. I just wonder if Aaron Rodgers, what they did on that, what was that, a Thursday night game or whatever, the last time we saw him, he was super impressive. Is that what he's going to be all year? Because some of those throws were vintage Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, the
one at the goal line or whatever.
Just unbelievable. Unbelievable. And then I'd say my other team will be the Bills, and that's strictly
Bills are a lock.
And it's just because I want to go deep into the season and then beat them again, and then the storyline of them giving us everything in the draft continues for another year.
Honest to God, this is why I can't like fear them yet, is every year they kick the teeth in of like three teams in September. Then they're kind of like mediocre in October and November, and everyone doubts them for a little bit, and then December they're white hot again. This is the year. Here come the Bills in the playoffs. Lose to the Chiefs. Chiefs win the Super Bowl. It's the same story every year. year.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah, I mean, on this end, sure. Like, what's not to like on this end, right? I mean, because their storyline has, I mean, the only difference I'd say this year is for the first time in Josh Allen's career, he is throwing it shorter and it's more successful. He's getting more yards after catch. And he doesn't have a single player with over 20% target share. He's literally just throwing it to anybody.
Well, and that's
which helps them, right? No, just let's feed Stephon Diggs stuff.
Well, I mean, offense around the NFL is, I think, statistically down over the place. I mean, except kickers. Kickers are on the rise. That's why I missed the game last night, because I was busy watching
Aubrey kick him from.
But then he finally missed at the end of the game and almost gave the Giants a chance.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that was crazy. Aubrey.
And didn't cover because of it.
Depending on the number you got. Yeah. That was a big swing. Our boss, we were giving him a hard time. We do like an internal contest, and you have to put in your pick, but it's based off of one specific book, and like there's a cutoff at 5:00. And earlier in the day, the Cowboys were -6 or -5.5. We got in this morning, and the board said -5. It was our boss's pick. We were like, wait a second, but it closed.
Quite the push.
At 5 when he left, it was 5, so he pushed.
Dang. I guess. I mean, I don't know. I can't rule out him coming back.
You're
to
not
going
to cheat
changing,
just to get a push. He would have put 4.5 or something on the
I
board.
I took the money
know?
Line yesterday on the Giants just because I was like, I was just like, you know.
They had their opportunities.
Statistically, these Cowboys, is just the way that they do business, what? I guess.
You and know. Malik Nabers seems like he's going to keep him in some games.
Oh, man, he's a real deal.
He's so good. I didn't take any. I like, although, what is it, the line now? It's like 15-2 is what teams are of if they're greater than a 6-point underdog against the spread.
Yeah,
so, I mean, underdogs, massive underdogs have
crazy
been covering
numbers.
A ton.
There's just been a lot of, you know, trends that have been flipped on their head the first couple weeks of the season from a betting perspective. It's wild. Yeah, the numbers are for some of the underdogs this year of underdogs of 7+ points, start of the season 4-0 outright, not even covering, just winning outright. It's the first time underdogs of 7 or more points are above 500 through the 3 weeks since 1956.
And the books are loving it.
Of course, yeah. Of course. And for the first time in over 70 years, the biggest underdog in each of the first 3 weeks won all their games outright. So like the Commanders were 7.5-point dogs last week against Cincy. They won. The Raiders were 9-point dogs against Baltimore in week 2. They won. The Patriots were, of course, 8-point underdogs against Cincy in week 1. They won outright. So it's been a crazy start. At some point, it's going to flip. I think, you know, the question is, this the week? Is this the week that it happens? So that gets us to the Chiefs. Now, they're not 8-point favorites, but they were at one point. They're 7.5-point favorites. Let's get into this Chiefs Chargers game. We don't know for sure yet on Herbert. I haven't seen anything come across.
No, I think they're probably just going to list him as questionable like last week.
But. So Herbert maybe plays. If not, it's Taylor Heineke. Most of their offense so far has been about running it with J.K. Dobbins anyway. Their defense has been impressive. Let's kind of go around here. How do you guys see this game playing out? I'll start with you, Andrew, for the Chiefs. Do they get to 4-0? And is it a nail biter again like we've come to expect? Or do the Chiefs finally get their, I guess, first blowout win since the Bears last season?
I mean, I hope so, but I definitely think that the the John Harbaugh football run the rock, you know, 30 times or whatever the case may be. It's just, and then I mean, J.K. Dobbins has been producing. I mean, he goes in and he runs like a maniac. I hope that I have no doubt that the defense can handle that sort of thing, but really I think it's going to be a nail biter, and that's strictly just based on the fact that we haven't seen the offense produce in the same ways that it normally would. None of those kind of wow moments like what you were talking about earlier. It's just like we're not there yet, but again, with these people who are questionable, we've got people who are out. We have no Pacheco. You know, our run game is odd right now. Although
the rush efficiency wise, they say the Chiefs are one of the better teams in the NFL.
This deal might be the first jersey I buy.
Are you're all in on Steele, huh?
Just because I love his attitude. I love a nobody becoming a somebody. Yeah.
Have you guys considered a pet alligator for like the patio area at Rieger?
We're not saying no. We are pet friendly as long as it's on a leash.
Yeah. Okay. So Crocky J is welcome technically in Rieger, just as long as it's on a leash. Maybe mouth taped, but you know, other than that.
Well, yeah. It might be a good idea for that.
I think this is going to be, is it just me or does it feel like a normal Chargers game? They're going to get the national media saying, you know, they've got X person out. They're down a leg on the Chiefs. They don't have their full strength. And then come game time, it's closer than it should be. That's what it seems like. It's always been, you know, the Chiefs are going to come in there and everybody expects them to be, like you said, 8-point favorites or something like that. I don't see them winning by 8 points. I see it a lot closer, either 3, or, you know, you get a fluky, you know, safety or something that makes it not one of those odd scores, but it's way too close for Chiefs fans. You know, I'm going to have to get, you know, heart medicine.
Yeah, people are going to be freaking out. I'm sure that, it feels like...
Right around with playoff baseball coming around the corner, damn it.
Yeah, there's...
I'm going to die by the end of this week.
Hopefully on by Sunday, the Royals have taken care of business and or the Twins have helped them out, whatever it may be. And hopefully on Sunday, it's more of a stress-free day. We're all feeling good about the month of October for baseball. But Drew, what do you think for this thing on Sunday?
I think it's going to be one of those Jim Harbaugh grind it out sort of games. 20-14, I think the Chiefs end up winning. But it's going to be one of those uglier games that people get to see.
I'll take 24-21. I can't believe the under is kind of hard to imagine in any Chiefs game. It is under 40 points.
Yeah,
that's what the thing is going to be. Under 40 points for a Chiefs game? Like, I know we don't fully believe in their offense yet, but the Chargers run more zone than any team in the NFL. The Falcons run the third most zone in the NFL. How did that go for them last week? Rashee Rice just ate the entire game. Like, I kind of feel like it's that again. I think the Chiefs will control the clock. Maybe, I don't know, maybe the Chargers don't get to their end of this.
That's what I'm thinking.
40 points, and that's how you hit the under, but I still think the Chiefs win.
21-17, we put out that video up on our social channels. We had to go around the office and give predictions. That was a score I went with that would be under, I guess, the 40. I think that the tricky part for me to see the Chargers getting above 17 is what you just mentioned with the running game. We know they want to run. Aaron, Drew, you were talking about J.K. Dobbins. He's been great, but the Chiefs have kind of flipped the running game in a much better direction than it was a year ago in terms of defense. They were bottom 4 yards per carry allowed, I think, a year ago. So far, with Zach Moss, Robinson, and
Derrick Henry
have been held in check. And certainly Robinson was held in check. And we know that final play, what Nick Bolton was able to do. So the Chargers have not shown they can just go down the field. And if it's going to be Taylor Heinicke, I'm even more confident that there's a mistake. So I'm going to go 21-17. I think it's just a lower scoring game. The Chiefs will be comfortable throughout, but it'll be one of these where maybe late in the game there's a field goal or a touchdown that makes it a little closer. But 21-17, I think, gets the job done.
Every time we talk about tackles being gone, we only talk about pass blocking. They also have to block for the running back. Without their left and the right, they technically have to use those to run.
And for the Chiefs, we haven't talked today about Wanamaker Morris, but in general, I'm curious to see what he looks like in game number 2 as a starter this year. You know, he was good against Atlanta. He basically has, to this point, secured the job away from the rookie Kingsley. But let's see what he does against that front of the Chargers, although it looks like there's not going to be Joey Bosa, which is a nice break for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think it's that confidence boost, like you're just saying, to have a win under your belt, to be able to go into and know that you're not lining up with Bosa breathing down your neck. I mean,
Khalil Mack's still an okay player. But he's not Khalil Mack from 4 years ago.
Right.
Like, it changes kind of quick in the NFL. So we all think the Chiefs are winning? Drew, even you? You only picked the Chiefs to lose one time this year, and it was against Cincinnati. You were actually closest to being right.
I think I picked the Chiefs to lose twice last year. So okay. I'm not a Chiefs hater where I'm just picking the other team every single time.
They should probably lose.
I'm a realist. They should win the game, and I think they will.
Is there any other game around the league where you're keyed in on? Baltimore and Buffalo, of course, is one of the bigger games.
Yeah, it's way up there.
That has a swing in terms of seeding. I mean, I guess is it early enough in the season where we're rooting for a certain result already? I mean, for number 1 seed conversation, I guess you would like Baltimore.
Never too early for that.
Yeah, you'd like Baltimore to be Buffalo because you already beat Baltimore. Buffalo's the only other team that's undefeated. The Chiefs would be the last remaining AFC team undefeated if they win and Buffalo loses. Is that right? So I guess that's a game I'm fascinated to see. Can somebody slow down what Josh Allen is doing? Because he's been as good as any quarterback so far. Before people freak out on the text line, it's 3 weeks in. But 3 weeks in, Josh Allen has been the best quarterback in the NFL. Him and Sam Darnold have. I mean, that's just the reality. Doesn't mean they'll be the best in week 15 or in the playoffs when it matters most. But right now, Josh Allen is playing as good as anybody.
I think people always get offended because you just mean he's playing the best football this year. Last year, Lamar Jackson played the best football. You are not saying that Lamar Jackson is the best quarterback in football. That is Patrick Mahomes, undisputably. Right. And no one is trying to argue the other side of that. But yeah, Josh Allen plays really well during this time. I'm impressed. Khalil Shakir and all that stuff, but you know, they've played no one. Talk to me when you play like a real.
That changes the next couple weeks. You know? We'll get that answer. I think the Bills have not only the Ravens, but don't they have the Texans coming up over the next 2 weeks? So all that gets sorted out. It's been a little Fan Club Friday here on 96.5 The Fan. Andrew, appreciate it, man. Good to see you again.
Jacob, thank you for your donation.
Hey, anytime, man. I'm always happy to do it.
Hope everybody has a great weekend. On Monday, I think we're talking about playoff baseball in Kansas City. We should know who the Royals are playing. All that, it's good to have playoff baseball maybe back in Kansas City. Just clinch tonight. Everybody can have a great weekend. The Drive is going to talk more about the Royals. Also, they'll update you if anything changes with the weather down in Atlanta. The Drive with C. Don and Rob coming up next right here on 96.5 The Fan.